Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
One of the places we're going to start right now is actually, we're going to start with a moment of prayer. And what we're going to pray is, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to let the name or the face of a person who you know, who is far away from Jesus, they're separated from him, they have not said yes to him, they're spiritually dead, whatever language that you want to use, but that you would let the Holy Spirit bring that person's face, that person's name to you right now. And we're going to take just a couple of moments to pray for that person specifically. And so I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes if you're joining us online. I ask you to do the same thing wherever you're joining us from as well. And let's pray together. I'm going to give you a few moments to pray for that person even now. God, we're praying for these friends, these family members who we love, who you love more than we do. And we're asking that your Spirit would open their eyes to the reality of who Jesus is and what he's accomplished for them, for all of us, so that we could be connected with our Creator the way that we were designed to be, and to live truly abundant life. And so would you open doors? Would you open hearts? Would you grant us the opportunity to play a part, perhaps even be witness, to when that person steps out of death and steps into life through faith in Jesus Christ alone? We put all this in your hands because you're the only one who can change lives. And we ask these things in the good and wonderful name of Jesus. And if you prayed that prayer, say amen. All right. Well, if you brought a Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So 1 Corinthians is in the New Testament. It's after the Gospels, Acts, Romans, and that's where we're going to be at today. And to kind of set that up, it is normal for believers to share the good news about Jesus. It's normal. In fact, if you look throughout the New Testament, all four Gospels and Acts records Jesus, not only he's the one sharing the gospel, the good news, but he actually commands his disciples to share the good news. And he says, it will just happen, right? When this Holy Spirit fills your life, it will overflow from you. You will naturally share the gospel. And so it's normal for believers to talk about Jesus. And in fact, it is the natural outflow of the Holy Spirit at work in you that you would share the gospel with other people. Now, with that in mind, I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and just read a couple of passages there, and we're going to unpack this idea. This is what it says starting in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 2. It says, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." Now, I want to talk about this for just a quick second, because what Paul says is, hey, listen, Corinthians, when I came to you, when I shared the gospel, I came in weakness. And there was a bit of fear when I came, right? When I showed up. And so Paul says, he's just kind of bearing it out. He's putting it out there. And he's going, listen, this is just the way that it was, right? That's what I was experiencing when I was with you, right? And I just talked to you about Jesus. By the way, this is not the first time that Paul exposes this or asks for prayer. In Ephesians chapter 6, one of the prayers he asks for the Ephesians to pray for him, is he says, pray for me that I may proclaim the good news with boldness and with courage, fearlessly, in fact, like I should. And so I just want to say this. It's normal for believers to share the gospel, and it's common to have a little bit of a layer of fear. Within all of that, right? There's a little bit of a layer to have some trembling in the midst of that. Why? Why do you think that we have these moments of fear or these moments of trembling or even these moments of weakness when it comes to sharing the gospel? I think there's a lot of different reasons, but if I could just dial in on one for just a moment, I think maybe the big one might be this for a lot of us. It matters. Sharing the gospel matters. And on the important stuff, there's a layer where we kind of, right, there's some anxiousness with it, right? Ask any young guy who's getting ready to, propose to his fiance, and he's, even though he's like 97% sure, she's going to say yes. There's anxiousness. When you're getting ready to accept a job in a new city, in a new state, and you believe this is going to work out, but before you say yes, there's an anxiousness. Before you buy your home, right? Why? Because these are moments that matter. These are moments that shape us. And so why would there not be this level of real great care when it comes to sharing the most important news with a person you care about regarding the most important decision of their life? And so here's what I would say. It's common to feel fear when sharing the gospel, but fear doesn't have to stop you. It doesn't have to keep you from sharing the good news of what Jesus has done. And I want to talk through that a little bit this morning, because what Paul does is he essentially says, hey, listen, there's two ways that we can share the gospel. The first one, he says, listen, when I came to you, Corinthians, I didn't come with wise words. I didn't come with eloquence. I didn't come with human wisdom or persuasive words, right? He's like, I wasn't all focused in on how I was going to share it. I didn't have my script ready to go. None of those types of things. I wasn't using, trying to argue you into the gospel. I wasn't coming from a place of superiority. I wasn't coming from a place of authority to tell you what you need to do with your life. I didn't come arguing. I didn't come debating. I didn't come laying guilt on you. I didn't come to try to manipulate you into this thing. I didn't do any of that. I think part of the reason is when Paul came to faith, in his life, very early he started sharing the gospel with people around him. And there's a moment recorded in Acts chapter 9, verse 29, where actually it says this, that he talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, and they tried to kill him. Right? You never see this word debated used with Paul ever again in the book of Acts, right? Now, he was in moments where people tried to kill him, right? But he never does this. He does this early on after coming to faith in Jesus, but this word is never used again with Paul. And I think part of the reason is Paul began to see trying to debate, argue, logic people into the kingdom of God, it doesn't work. That's not how somebody comes to faith in Jesus Christ, right? You can't argue them into the kingdom. You can't debate them into the kingdom. You can't strong arm them into the kingdom. How does Jesus say to Nicodemus that a person enters into the kingdom of God? They're born again. They're born again by a work of the Holy Spirit. That's how somebody steps out of spiritual death into spiritual life that changes them forever. And so you can't, Paul says, listen, one way you can share the gospel is through human ability. That's one way. But it usually doesn't carry the same weight and the ability. He said, but the other way that you can share the good news is you can do it with God's power. Right? He says that. I didn't come to you in human ability. I came to you in God's power. And when you're thinking about that, right, like God's power is so different than human ability. This is the God who knows the heart of every single person. This is the God who can discern the intentions and desires that reside within you. This is the God who's referred to as all the omnis, right? He's all powerful. powerful. He's ever present, right? He's all good. This is that God, right? This is the God. When you go all the way back to Genesis, right? When you go back there, you see this God, and he's the one who creates all of it, right? In the beginning. This is a God of creation who speaks things into existence and they come into being. That kind of power. This is the God who wants to display his power among Egypt and the nation of Israel, and so he actually has the capacity to change Pharaoh's heart. This is the God who shapes history and time. He is king over the natural and the supernatural. This is the God who has revealed himself through the scriptures with amazing clarity. This is the God who has stepped out of heaven into our earth, wrapped himself in flesh, and revealed himself through the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. That's the kind of power that we're talking about. And when you put human ability up next to God's power when it comes to sharing the gospel, which one do you think is a little bit more reliable? Right? It becomes clear. It becomes obvious, right? It's a no-brainer. And so think about this. When discussing with others the most important event in history, when inviting others to make the most important decisions in their lives, who will you trust? Your ability? Your reasoning? Your logic? Your rationale? Your ability to manipulate, guilt, shame, cajole, drive people to a certain direction? Or perhaps you could rely on God's power instead when it comes to talking about that. And what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, he says, listen, I just came to talk about Jesus. That was it. That's all he knew. That's all I came. I just came to talk about Jesus. And we're going to unpack what that means and what that looks like. But if I could throw out for all of us, because listen, next week is Easter. This is the season when very, very many people are probably some of the most open to talking about Jesus, invitations to church, all those different types of things. And so I wanted to talk this morning as a church family, what are some things we can be doing to partner with God, to walk with him, to let him use our lives when it comes to sharing the most important news for the most important decision with people in their lives. And so I wanted to talk about two tools that we can use, and then I want to unpack some of the content of one of those tools. Here's the first tool that I think we can and we should leverage when it comes to sharing the gospel. And the first one is this. It's prayer. Prayer. I actually think that's the starting place before I ever go to talk to somebody about Jesus, or even, quite frankly, invite them to church, right? And yes, I'm praying for them, and we just did that, but also I'm praying for me. Why? Because I'm prone to rely on human ability. I'm prone to rely on my ability to cajole or excite somebody or move them in a direction that I want them to. But it's maybe prayer is as much about aligning my heart with God's before I share the good news with somebody else as it is about God opening their eyes. And so I'm praying for me. I'm praying for the person that I'm hoping I get the opportunity to do that. But we're talking about prayer because we're talking about a supernatural work of God. And so why would we not rely on God within the midst of all this? And think about this. Whose life have you ever really changed? Like in all seriousness. Like whose life have you ever really changed? And I think about that and it's like, really no one. I can't even change my own life. Like I was like, you know what? For like 10 days, I'm like, no fast food. 10 days. I made it 1.5. I can't even change my diet, you people, right? Like, what in the world makes you think, what makes me think that I have the power and the capacity to change someone else's life? Because what we're talking about, like, nobody can do that. This is a work of the Spirit. He has to do this in us. He has to do this in the lives of others. And so I want to give you just a quick idea for prayer. There's three openings that I typically pray for when I get the opportunity to share the gospel or I'm looking for one. The first opening I pray for is for open doors. I ask the Lord to open up doors for me to be able to share the gospel, whether it be with friends, family, maybe I'm out and about, wherever I am in the city or the county. So open doors. The second thing I pray for is when there's an open door, is that then there would be an open mouth, and that would be mine, that I would open my mouth to share the good news of Jesus, or at least have whatever conversation the Lord would allow me to have in that moment. And then the third opening I pray for is for open hearts, that as we're talking, as we're discussing, that God, the Holy Spirit, right? He would be the one to open up their hearts in the process. And I have to trust him with all of it, right? Because I'm not in charge. I'm not in control. This is him doing his thing, leading someone who he loves, by the way, more than I love them. Do you realize that? Like, you will never love another human being more than God loves them. You will never want somebody to come to faith in Jesus Christ more than God wants them to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so that brings a lot of pressure, that brings a lot of weight off of me, because it's not up to me to control and contort that whole thing in the way that I want it to be. I can trust the God who created them, the God who loves them, the God who has a plan for them more than myself. And so I think you always have to start with prayer. Here's the second tool that I would throw out that I think we can leverage, and it's this invitation. Invitation. Two big invitations I would throw out that I think are very easy for us to leverage. The first invitation would simply be this: to invite people to church. That's really simple. Or your small group. And the reason I say that is, sometimes I get myself so worked up that we need to get to the point where we're asking this person to make a decision to come to faith, when actually maybe the decision that they need to make first is to simply investigate the truth of Scripture. And what better place to do that than in your small group? What better place to do that than here, where we talk about Scripture and truth all the time? And so sometimes I get so focused on the end result, right, them coming to faith, that I forget there are a lot of different steps along the way. And sometimes, many times, one of them is just being familiar and being exposed to the truth of Scripture. And so your first invitation actually might just simply be, hey, what if you joined me on Sunday morning? What if you joined me at my small group? And this is a place where you can just discover who God is. By the way, we've got these great little invite cards in your bulletin. And so those are just simple ways to say, hey, here's the times. Because I think including myself, every person over the last few weeks who have shared the three times for our services, I have always got them wrong. So I would trust that card more than you would trust me. 8:30, 10, and 11:30 next Sunday, I think so. So double check on that. But so just know that we're three services next week instead of two. And the reason we're doing that is creating space and opportunity for all of us to invite family, friends, coworkers, neighbors to come and discover who God is. And by the way, let me just say this. Some of you might not know this, but I guess I want to pull back the curtain for many of you who might be newer to Lighthouse Community, and some who just might not even know this. So at Lighthouse Community, we kind of have a philosophy that on Easter Sunday, we don't do a lot of crazy production stuff, right? A lot of extra things that we typically wouldn't do on any other given Sunday morning. And the reason behind that is very, very intentional. The reason is we actually try to do the exact same thing on Easter that we do the other 51 weeks of the year, so that when somebody comes and experiences what's here, and they're like, wow, this was really helpful, we can say, we do this every single Sunday, as opposed to having this huge production, and they come on that Sunday, and then they come back next week, and it's like just me, right? And they're like, oh, I'll see you next year, right? So if you come in next Sunday, and it's very, very normal, that's intentional. Because we're going, man, if this was helpful, we're going to do it next Sunday, and then the next Sunday, and the next Sunday, and we just keep doing that. So there's great intentionality behind that. So I want to encourage you, inviting people to join you is a really good one. Here's the other invitation: inviting people to faith, an invitation to faith. Right? There's a moment. Every single one of us had a moment, whether it was a friend, a pastor, a coworker, maybe you heard just directly from the Lord after encountering truth of Scripture. Somebody begged the question, are you ready to say yes to Jesus? Are you ready to put your faith in Jesus? And some people are ready for that, right? And sometimes that comes through conversations. Sometimes that comes through just asking questions like this. What do you think about God? That's a really disarming question, by the way. And you know what you do after you ask that question? You just listen. You just listen. Because when somebody answers that question, they're giving you a gift. They're giving you a gift, and the gift is, I'm letting you into my mind and into my heart about how I understand and believe things. This is not a moment to jump on them and correct everything that might not line up with Scripture, because as far as you know, they haven't said yes to Jesus, right? They don't subscribe to the truth that you subscribe to. And so to simply listen and ask more questions, and you actually get to the point where people will begin reciprocating that question back to you. You know, I've been talking a lot about my views on God. What do you believe about God? So glad you asked. Right? No, but right, we're talking about friendship. We're talking about just journeying together. And so invitation through questions, through conversations, all of that are really, really powerful. And think about this. So a lot of times we'll invite people to church. We may talk a little bit about our own story of coming to faith in Jesus. All that's fine. But do you know what people need more than they need church? You know what people need more than they need your story? And your story is great because it's a story of Jesus changing you and transforming you. What people need more than anything is they need truth. They need truth to believe in, right? That's why Paul says, listen, I didn't come with human persuasion. I didn't come with wise words. I didn't come with eloquence. Because I came with the power of God because I want your faith to rest on the power of God. If you come to faith because of my logic, what does your faith rest on? My logic. If you come to faith because you're really into the music at that church, what's your faith resting on? The music of it, right? The experience or whatever. And what Paul says, the reason I resisted eloquence, the reason I resisted persuasive words is I don't want you to have faith because I convinced you of it. I don't want you to have faith because I cornered you into a logical argument. I don't want you to come to faith because I debated you to that place. I want you to come to faith because you experienced the power of God in your life through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, because that's where faith rests and relies. And so we've got to invite people into truth. So for the next few minutes, I just want to briefly talk about the truth, the content that we're inviting people into. And I want to talk about it with four words. And I don't have a ton of time to, because each one of these could be a sermon series on its own. But Easter is coming. And so I want to talk about these four words quickly. And the whole reason I want to do this is I want to equip all of us with a simple way to talk about the content of truth. I'm not providing you a formula. I'm not providing you this is how you must do it. I simply want to provide content for you to think about when you're talking to share about the gospel with other people. Here's the four words. If you're a note taker, you're going to love this. I'm going to share the four words and then I'm going to explain the four words. The four words are these: God, sin, Jesus, faith. God, sin, Jesus, and faith. Those are the four words. So when we're talking about the gospel, we always start with God, right? That he's the beginning. In fact, Chloe, can we go back to that Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 verse for just a moment? This is so important. The Bible starts here. In the beginning, God. God is the unmoved mover. God is the uncreated creator. He is the setting, right? What was before God? Nothing. He's eternal. He's the setting. He's the beginning. Everything begins with him, okay? He's the beginning. That is so important, right? The universe, creation, your existence is because of God. He's the setting. By the way, that alone will challenge all kinds of commonly held assumptions in our culture today. Just simply talking about that. But that's the starting place. That in the beginning, God. And since he created everything, here's the important thing. Since he's the creator, he sets the standard. He sets the purpose for all of his creation. Right? He didn't create because he was bored. He didn't create because he got tired of the Son and the Holy Spirit. He created because that's who he is. And he created with purpose and design you. And so there's a standard, right? And that's very, very important to understand, that God created everything and he sets the standard and the purpose. That's God. Now we go to sin. How does sin play into all of this? Well, God creates Adam and Eve. By the way, these are real people. Somewhere along the lines, someone put out the idea, well, I think they're just an allegory, just like a story of all of us universally. No, actually, Genesis doesn't put that forward at all. Adam and Eve were literal people who lived real lives and made real decisions. And their key decision that overwhelmingly has affected every single one of us is their rebellion against God's standard. Some of you who are scriptural, you've read this before. What was the standard that God put before Adam and Eve? Eat whatever you want. All of it. Who knows how many hundreds, thousands, maybe millions of trees and fruits and veggies, and I don't know what else is out there, right? But he says, enjoy all of it, except one. They knew. And you know, a lot of people like to blame the serpent, Satan, but he was only stroking what was already there, right? And some of us go like, oh, I wouldn't have done that. You would have gone quicker, right? Like, let's just listen, all right? Let's just be honest. Let's just be straight up. But they rebelled, right? They rebelled God's standard. They resisted God's standard. That's sin. Rebelling against God's standard. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says this, that the outcome, the result, the reward of sin is death. Separation from God, separation from Creator, separation from the standard. Sin leads to spiritual death. Always. Right? And so that comes in. Now you have to understand this. Each one of us is a sinner by nature because it's been passed down from Adam and Eve to all of us, but we're also sinners by choice, right? You can only blame genetics and history so far because all of us choose and decide to rebel against God's standard as well. Romans 5 puts it this way, that we are powerless, we are ungodly, we are enemies of God, and we are under his wrath. Those are all the results of rebelling against God's standard. Right? And so sin leads to death. Here's the big thing. If you die physically while you're dead spiritually, you enter into what the Bible refers to as eternal death. Right? This is what one of the big deals is that if you die physically while you're dead spiritually, you enter into eternal death, which is unrecoverable. You are fully, finally separated from God. Right, that is the problem. That's the challenge. Now, you have to really understand the problem of sin, because the problem of sin helps us understand the solution. Because if you start with the place, you go, well, I'm a pretty good person. And you go, well, you need Jesus. You're like, for what? Just to be a little bit better of a person? You can see how that actually begins to distort the good news. The good news becomes, okay news. Right? But when you really understand sin, its depths, its ramifications, the good news becomes really good news. Right? You begin to understand it. And so you have God as a setting, sin is a problem, Jesus is the answer. Where Adam failed, where we fail, Jesus won. Where we and Adam failed, Jesus won. Jesus comes in and he met God's standard. But here's what's really cool. He didn't just meet God's standard as God, because that would keep him removed from us. We go, well, yeah, of course he should meet God's standard. He's God. But he comes in and he meets God's standard as a human. He can now identify with us completely. Every trial, every struggle, every temptation, everything. And yet he never sinned. He never fell short. God, this is really important. God knows what it's like to be you. You and I have no idea what it's like to be him. God came into our world as a human and he met the standard. Jesus is what human life is supposed to look like. Jesus is God in the flesh. That's amazing. That's incredible. And he paid the price, right? There was a debt that was owed because of our sin, and he paid it. I appreciate what Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26 says, that, but he has appeared once for all that at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. That was what his death accomplished, is that sin, the debt of sin, was finally and fully paid for, and that's really, really important. And so Jesus lived the life that you should have. Jesus died the death that you should have. Why? So that we could have the blessing that he has. New life and a healthy relationship with God, right? And the resurrection is absolutely central. The resurrection, because the resurrection proves that he is God, the resurrection proves that God did accept Jesus' payment as full and final, and there's nothing else. The resurrection is absolutely central, which leads to our last point, which is faith. You can understand God, sin, and Jesus, all of that is fine, but if you stop there, you have not crossed into saving faith. What you have is the right truth. Faith is the response. Faith is the response. In fact, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 are very, very helpful. In fact, let's read these passages out together, wherever you're joining us from, with starting with if you declare. Are you ready? Go. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. I want you to notice, right? Jesus is Lord, resurrection. That's what Romans 10 talks about. The resurrection, right? Here's what faith is. Faith is belief plus repentance brought together. It's belief plus repentance brought together. It's belief not in Christianity. This is very important. This is a very important distinction. It's not belief in Christianity. It's belief in Jesus' resurrection. Because that's what brings proof and validity to everything else. If you believe Jesus was a good guy and he was a great teacher and he helped people and he really did die, but if you don't believe in the resurrection, you're not a Christian. Every time you see in Acts, Paul and the other disciples, they would talk about Jesus and people like, that's very interesting, very cool. I'm very glad you shared this with me. And then they would get to the resurrection, and that was the dividing line. People either got angry and wanted to kill them, or they came to faith. And the Bible says that the resurrection will either be the stumbling block that trips you up, or it has to be the cornerstone on which you build the entire rest of your life off of. You cannot ignore the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's what gives proof and validity to everything else. Jesus' death and resurrection has put us right with God. We believe that, and we repent, realizing that rebelling against God is the wrong track, and now we get a fresh start at life through Jesus. And then that faith leads us to new life. That faith leads us to new life. New life marked by the Holy Spirit, right? Hey, imagine, what's it like having the Holy Spirit living inside of you? What's it like not having the Spirit of God living in you, and then you know he's there? Man, what an amazing feeling, what an amazing truth. New life is marked by unlearning self-directed living and discovering the joy of living a yes life. New life is relying on God, trusting him for everything. That's what new life, we get set back into our design and our purpose that God created us for. That's the good news. That's the content. And by the way, many of you know, it's much, much deeper than that. It's much, much fuller than all of that. But we only had so much time to talk about it today. But if you're going to talk about, if you're going to invite somebody into faith, you don't have to have wise, eloquent, persuasive words. You just talk about Jesus and you trust God's power. You talk about God, you talk about sin, you talk about Jesus, and you talk about faith. It's those four things, right? And you can talk about them in different places with the person you're discussing with, right? But we got to talk about content. We got to talk about truth. We got to get past emotion. We got to get past experience. We got to get past logic. We got to get past rationality. And we've got to get to truth. What's true versus what is not true. And so my prayer is, and a next step that I would invite all of us into, is number one, to pray for open doors to share the good news. That's the next step on your connection card. But the other one would be to simply invite another person to join you here in this place next Sunday, or your small group, to engage with truth of who God is and what Jesus has done. It's not wrong to feel fear when you're sharing the gospel. What it says is you recognize the weight of the moment. You recognize how important this moment is. And you don't have to rely on your own ability when you share the gospel. In fact, you can rely on the Spirit of God. You can rely on the power of God. It's okay to feel fear. You don't have to let fear stop you, right? Actually, courage is trusting God in the face of fear, knowing that He's more powerful than the fear that I'm experiencing. The first person to ever invite me to church was my best friend in high school, Andy. And he just said, "Hey, do you want to come?" And I said, "Okay." And I did. And I started going. The first person to share the good news of Jesus with me was Andy's mom, Debbie. And she talked about him differently than I'd ever heard anybody else talk about Jesus in my life. He was not this concept that was out there tied to religion. He was a person who had transformed her life. And she didn't care who, she wasn't obnoxious. Well, maybe she was obnoxious. But like, she to me, it was like, it was what I needed, right? Here she is talking to a 16, 17-year-old kid about who Jesus is. I attended church and I heard what Debbie had to say for 6 months before I came to faith in Jesus. Do you know how many conversations that were? Those were? You know how many conversations you have in 6 months? You know how many services you can attend in 6 months? You know how many times you can hear truth in 6 months? A lot. Just because you share with someone once, that's one in the line of what God is doing in the life of a person. Whose life might God change through your friendship, through your conversation, through your questions, through your invitation? And I know for some of you, you go, but what if they say no? I've had that happen. I've invited friends to church and they've said no. And we kept being friends. It happens. It's okay. It's really not that big of a deal. What if they say no? It's okay. Here's a question I would actually ask that I think matters. What if they say yes? What if they say yes to being here? What if they say yes to your small group? What if they say yes to faith in Jesus and it changes their lives forever? Man, what would it feel like to know that God used you? What would it feel like to maybe even be present when somebody passes out of death into life? Oh man, I bet that's incredible. You can invite people to church, that's fine. You can also invite people to faith in Jesus Christ. And you don't have to rely on your own ability. In fact, I would encourage you to rely on God's power instead and just share Jesus. That's it. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We ask this question every Sunday when we teach, and simply this: Jesus, what are you saying to me through this message? And I want to give you an opportunity to hear from him. I'm going to propose something. I'm going to ask you to keep your eyes closed and heads bowed for just a moment. Just listen to my voice. I'm not going to ask you to do anything movement-wise, but I do want to throw out a quick thought that you may be in this room today, or maybe you're joining us online today, and the Spirit of God has helped you to realize that perhaps your faith has been resting on experience, perhaps your faith has been resting on logic, Perhaps your faith has been resting on emotion, and this morning you are recognizing that God is inviting you to put your faith in Jesus. And maybe you've gone to church for months, weeks, perhaps years, or decades, and God has opened your eyes to this. Here's what I would say to you. Say yes. Choose faith in him. Belief plus repentance. I believe that my salvation is based on Jesus and not off of my experience. I believe it's based off of who Jesus is and not off of my emotions, not off of logic, not off of rationale, not off of apologetics. It is based on truth of what Jesus has done and who he is. And you could say yes to him and live a whole new life going forward. We want to pray for you here at Lighthouse Community. And so here's what's going to happen is the band's going to come up. They're going to play just one more song. It's not a very long song. But during that time, we're going to have prayer leaders who will be in the four corners of the room. So up here near the TVs. Then we'll have two back by the sound booth. I'm going to ask those prayer leaders if they'll head to those locations now while the band is getting into place. We're available to pray with you about absolutely anything, right? And so during the song, you'll actually step out of your seat, head down one of the aisles, and meet up with a prayer partner. You'll just say, hey, my name's Fritz, and I was wondering if you would pray with me about this. And they're happy to. Actually, they would love to. That's why they're there. They'd love to pray with you. And you don't have to be a member of Lighthouse Community to receive prayer. Please don't ever be embarrassed, because we all need prayer, right? I need prayer. You need prayer. We all need prayer. And so let's do this. Let's stand together here in the house. And I want to pray for you, and then I want to invite you to come and pray as well. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to receive prayer, don't wait. We would love to pray with you this morning.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.